Welcome to Pastor Aggressive Podcast, real life,
real faith, real talk.
This is going to be an exciting episode, I think, because we've already had so many technical difficulties.
Not really. I mean, really, just likes to complain about
I just really like to complain about the nice things that my wife does for us.
Yeah, she cleaned up. We got the room
She
done.
Food poisoned us this week.
She did, literally.
Yeah, yeah.
She witchcrafted us.
With bee honey or something. What? Not pollen. It was pollen. Yeah, she put pollen in our food.
Dude, like legit made me allergies. Like deathly ill, dude. I was like about to
I die. Think, I actually think something else made you sick and then you just blamed it on the pollen, but that's fine too. I think it's the fact that all you've eaten for like the last 10 years is fast food and junk food and you had a couple of home cooked meals and you're like, my stomach can't handle it.
Whatever, bro. What do they say about a husband? That he's supposed to serve his wife as Christ serves the church, right? Something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
And Christ like died for the church. Tiffany was kind of trying to do that for me.
Yeah,
trying to make me die for the church.
Trying to make you die for the church. Yeah, that's wild, dude. What are we going to talk about today? Do you have any ideas? Well, we had all kinds of ideas, and then we talked about all of it all throughout the week, and now we're fresh out.
We talked about it today, but we kind of had a long night, you know?
Yeah.
Good recovery meeting, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Man, that recovery meeting is awesome, bro. We need more people coming out to that.
Yeah.
It's a really good time. But I kind of want to talk about promises, but first of all, I want to talk about your week, bro, because you had some crazy stuff going on this week.
I did have some crazy stuff happening this week. What happened? I publicly preached about me and my wife's intimacy. No, that wasn't me. That wasn't me. That's crazy. No,
shots fired.
I would never do that because that's crazy to do. That should never be done from the pulpit. Anyway, I got attacked on the internet. Shocker, me, lovable me, who will say things like I just did, got attacked on the internet a lot of times. But that was the weird part about it. Is that I posted, there were three separate posts, none of them political in any way. Like, it just, they weren't. They were not, they were not politically driven. They were not even
hinting. Can you give us a brief rundown of each one?
Yeah, I could do that. I could definitely do that. One was just, I was talking about do not repay evil for evil. Mm-hmm. And then I said, that's pretty straightforward. And then I said, love your neighbor and pray for those who persecute you. And I said that that's not a suggestion.
Yeah.
And then I said that I had a friend who, and I think I mentioned this maybe on the last podcast, that said that we can only really love Jesus as much as we dislike the person we like the least.
Right.
So that was really challenging to me. And then I said, if that's hard for you to grasp, then read it again and wrestle with it. Cause I think that's what that's part of what we have to do is we have mm-hmm. to take these things that are hard to apply to our lives that Christ said, and we have to be like, okay, what does that actually mean? How do we apply that to our lives? And we've talked about those exact text multiple times on this podcast.
Yeah. If you love me, you'll keep my commands.
Right. And those are like serious things that we have to, when we engage with the world, we have to consider those things. So that was one post. Another post was, I said, the blood of martyrs can, what did I say? The blood of martyrs can inspire people and lead them to the cross, but only the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of martyrs can soften hearts, but only the blood of Jesus can redeem them.
Yeah.
That might have been, I could see how maybe someone could take that politically, given what happened with Charlie Kirk and people calling him a martyr and everything that happened with that. But that was not my intention was just to say, hey, an event like this only has an impact if people turn to Jesus.
It was talking about.
I guess a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
So that was the second one. And then the third one was literally the thing I post every single week in our local community Facebook page of the banner that we set up when me and people from different churches go and pray together out in the community.
Yeah.
And it was just that picture of me and somebody else praying in the banner, and it said, prayer on the square said where and when and said, come pray with us.
Mm-hmm.
What about that would ever draw political whatever? And yet...
It would definitely draw spiritual attack.
Sure.
I think.
But it has not really a whole lot lately. Like, I've posted this every week for over a year now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's normally met with pretty positive reaction. People just like... And I don't... Here's the other caveat to that. I had a real problem with posting it early on because I was like, is this kind of like when Jesus talks about the Pharisees who go out and like pray in public and pray real loud and make a big scene of it?
Mm.
And so I really struggled with that at first. But what I found is posting about it encourages the community.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about me or the other people I post about praying, because sometimes we just post a picture of the banner. Sometimes it's different people in the pictures, whoever's mm-hmm. praying. So it's not about us praying in public. It's about what that does to the community to know that people are out praying for the community.
I always assumed it was like an advertisement type thing, like come if you need prayer, come.
Correct. Sure. And we've had several people come that like we try to pray with people as they're just walking by and ask them if they want prayer.
Yeah.
But we've had several people come and park and just come over there because they saw the post.
Yeah.
And needed prayer. And that's cool. I think that's awesome. So those were the three posts. The first one got absolutely just hijacked by a person who I think might actually be mentally ill. And probably they found this podcast and probably they're listening, but we don't know their real name because they use a fake name and a fake picture sure. on Facebook. But that being said,
as every bold soldier of Christ does.
And that person directly called me a coward, which the irony really, really threw me for a loop.
We're not going to get into dogging on him, man.
No. And I don't want to do that. Plus, I'm not telling you who, even what their fake name is. So it doesn't matter. You can't find him. But the whole point is this person was upset initially that I did not mention Charlie Kirk in my sermon.
Right.
Now, what they didn't know is that our Bible study group on Wednesday night, the night that Charlie was killed, prayed for Charlie Kirk's family.
Mm-hmm.
We prayed for our nation. We made the people who were there. We opened it up for them to talk about it, like how all those things were happening, how those things were making them feel. We tried to make an environment where we could discuss those things. But Sunday, I did not make the entire sermon about what happened to Charlie Kirk.
Right.
And that was intentional because I already knew what I was preaching. God had already put that on my heart, and I wasn't going to change that for that. Now, did I mention it? Yeah, absolutely.
You were doing a sermon series on Hebrews, which I almost said coincidentally, but almost like God providentially, sure. You were in Hebrews, what was it, 10?
I think, yeah, 10 and 11 that
week.
Where
it talks about martyrs.
Yeah. It talks about the heroes of the faith. But then also, Hebrews, in every chapter, what it does is it says, yes, these things are great. Yes, we should honor these things. But ultimately, focus on Jesus. That's right. If you were to sum up every chapter of Hebrews, it's our history is great. The people that went before us are great. And we should honor what they did, and we should be encouraged by it. But we should focus on Jesus.
Right.
Which is also what Charlie Kirk would have said.
And has said.
Yes. And there's a lot of hate. I don't want to get political about this. There's a lot of hate about his political beliefs on the internet, and there's a lot of people saying things, and I don't know one way or another. I've watched a lot of his videos, the full videos, not just little snippets, and I feel like he genuinely had a relationship with Jesus. I don't think, again...
He did do that one racist thing.
I thought he was being racist, but actually that was a person's name.
Chank Uger.
You thought he was calling him that. I thought he was using like a racial slur, but that's actually a guy's name. But anyway, again, context. We got to know what's going on. So that was how that conversation started.
Mm-hmm.
But then it turned into this thing where he was talking about my band and the things that I do with the band and how those are not simpatico with being a pastor. And I was like, I was like, this sounds so familiar. Well, turns out this is a guy that at the beginning of the year had messaged me for like several hours trying to get me to like trying to reconcile that and like tell me I had a double life and all this stuff.
And really, you're not even really in that lifestyle anymore.
No. But also, It's not like I was like out partying all the time. So we played music in bars, but I wasn't out like getting crazy.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, when you are in the music, I hate the word scene, but in the music scene, there are a lot of drugs and a lot of alcohol. And if I wanted to partake in those things, they would have been available.
Right.
But I did not. That's not what I was about.
Did you ever witness?
For the record. No.
Did you ever witness to anybody in those?
Oh, lines? Yeah, dude. That's what I did primarily. So we would play music, and the music, you know, it's not inherently Christian music.
But it's not dirty. I've listened to some of your music.
Right, right. Yeah. But it's not inherently Christian music. It's just we would play music, and we would then share with people our story when they wanted to talk about it. We didn't like force them to talk to us, but when people are talking to us, we just shared our life and our genuine faith.
Yeah, they're like, why aren't you doing coke with
us? Right. And that's been conversations, and that was a part of the conversation too, is I tried to tell this person that like there are people that would be like, I know that I'm not gonna ask this guy if he wants drugs or to do drugs with me, because they know my faith and they respected that. And so that was like part of the conversation I tried to explain to him. But in all of that, he wasn't getting it. And so I don't know if it was a deeper rooted thing or if he truly was upset that I didn't like specifically say Charlie Kirk's name in my sermon. But what was interesting about that is last week's episode of the podcast, if you listen to it, we did talk about that.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, if he wanted to hear my thoughts on that, then he could just listen to the podcast. Like, also, it's not a person that goes to my church. He watched my church's live stream specifically to like catch me or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For a gotcha.
Well, and a lot of the things, like the Rockstar thing, was a gotcha. The way he worded it was kind of funny, though. He was like, sweaty gay dudes or something.
No, he said, this guy takes shirtless pictures with sweaty other men. And I was like, the way you worded that makes it sound like it's something completely different.
Wait till he sees that picture of us in Honduras where I'm on your shoulders in a pool.
But all of that being said, that was just one instance.
Yeah.
There was when I mentioned the thing about, and I talked about these things that happened a little bit at church this morning, but I didn't say the things that people actually wrote, because I didn't want to politicize the pulpit, because I never want to do that.
Right.
That's the whole point of this. But I got it from both sides. So this guy clearly very far right and was like, Charlie Kirk or leave your church kind of thing. Yeah. Right. Which is a weird thing that's happening on TikTok right now. I don't even want to get into that. But
Charlie Kirk or leave your church.
Like people like TikTok videos of themselves walking out of their church saying, our church didn't mention Charlie Kirk, so I'm leaving this church that I've been at for 10 years.
They left us because they were not among us.
Right. So that's one thing. Second thing is the one about the blood of the martyrs can soften hearts, but only the blood of Jesus can redeem them. What do you say to that? Well, someone on the far left said, then you should vote for Christ instead of an antichrist. And I'm like, where did that come from? Like,
and how do they know you voted for the Antichrist?
What part of my post give, like, I just don't even know where that comes from. So
what a just dumb thing to say, vote for Christ and not the Antichrist. Who's Christ? Kamala?
Right. Well, but regardless, like, regardless of what you think about voting, that post had nothing to do with voting.
Right.
So it's like I don't understand where they were coming out with. So that was crazy. And then on the prayer page was the best, because I got it from both sides on that single post, right? Really? So somebody was like, are you praying for all the children that got shot in schools, or praying for our country to do this or that, or praying that we would no longer be under a tyrannical government, or praying for like all of these things.
Yeah.
And I just responded, we consistently pray for our country. We pray for that we will ultimately be a people that are like bold enough to stand against injustice and oppression everywhere. We certainly pray for the safety of children and teachers and all of these things. Like, this is stuff we pray for.
On the last podcast, we literally talked about this. Remember, we talked about how Russell Brand was praying for
correct
all the other stuff. We talked about the stuff that we missed because of Charlie Kirk.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so then there was a response to that from someone on the far right that said, that called me what did they call me?
Libtard?
A liberal hack.
Oh.
And I was like, what? And then I thought about this Steelers Wheel song. It's a one hit wonder. But there's a lyric in it where he says, clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, here I am stuck in the middle with you. And I was like, yeah.
Yep, that's what's happening to me.
Jiving, bud. So that was my weird week. And I don't want to over-politicize things, but we do. This is real talk. That's part of what we do. So I want to make it very clear that all of the people that commented in that way were the far extremes of those things. Does that make sense?
Right.
Like, these are extreme. I almost called them names. I don't want to do that. But they're extreme people. And so I don't know why that happened to me this week, but I honestly don't care. I don't care because I don't really care what people think of me, because I know what God has called me to do. I know that I fail at that sometimes, but I also know that God forgives me and provides grace in those areas. So I'm not caught up in what other people think. Now, a year ago, I would have flipped my lid and I would have said some really mean things on the internet that I would have had to delete. But that didn't happen this time. Praise I God. Responded in kind and shared what I thought was reasonable responses. And then when it got out of hand and I could not respond anymore, I just didn't.
So we read this verse today in church. It made me think of you immediately with what you're going through right now. Proverbs 26:4. You know this?
Probably, but go ahead.
Do not answer who do you think you are, bro? Probably, like, you probably. If it's in the Bible, I probably know it.
Proverbsly.
I hate you. maybe them Facebook commenters got something right, dude. Do not answer a fool according to his folly.
Yeah, I do know this
one. Or you yourself will be just like him. This is the hard part of the proverb. Yeah. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes.
Yeah.
Sending a message by the hands of a fool is like cutting off one's feet or drinking poison. So, like, the scripture's saying, like, don't answer a fool according to his folly. And then the scripture says, do answer a fool according to his
folly. No, it says if you do answer a fool according to his folly, then you'll make him wise in his own eyes. So, like, if...
No, that's not how this reads. It says,
isn't that what it says?
Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes.
Okay, and then what does it say?
After that? No, yeah. The first one is answer a... Wait. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him.
Yeah.
And then it says, answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. Or he.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I always took it to mean, like, if you act like an idiot responding to an idiot, then that makes them right about you being an idiot. Does that make sense?
Yeah. What does ESV say? Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like,
lest is more proving my point, though. Answer a fool according to his folly, unless he be wise in his own eyes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying. So yeah, that's complicated.
The hard part about the scripture is, like, it's a case by case basis.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But what does it mean to answer a fool according to his folly? I don't think that means to now repay evil for evil.
I think what I think that means is to let them be a fool and let them sound like a fool. Like, and I found that to be true this week with at least that first post, is nobody took him seriously when he was mocking me.
No.
Because they were like, this guy sounds like a goober. And so it was like, but had I made a fool of myself by calling him names or attacking him or whatever, we're also assuming this is a man. It might not be. I don't know.
It sounded like you knew who he was.
No, I don't know. I just had encounters with this person on Facebook Messenger before.
Sure. I bet it's just Chris. It's Chris on a Smurf account. Do you know what a Smurf account is?
I know what the Smurfs are. Those little blue pagans.
A Smurf account is something we do on Rainbow Six Siege to be really try hard.
Oh, yeah?
We make other accounts so that we play against low-level players.
Oh, nice, nice, nice. Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. That's cheating, though, by the way.
It is.
Yeah, so... I want to reword something here because you said like you said you feel bad that that happened to me. I don't want to in any way compare what happened to me. I don't want to make myself a victim because somebody cyberbullied me for half a minute. You know what I mean? Like that's not. I don't want that to be the case because clearly. In the world right now, there is horrible persecution going on all around the world.
Yeah.
And even in our country, we've seen some violence for people's, I don't know if it's before people's faith, but people of faith being violently attacked for whatever reasons. So, that being said, I don't want to sound like a victim here. I just thought it was interesting to talk about because three posts right in a row all became overly politicized that were not political posts inherently.
I'm just going to go out on a whim here and say something I'm feeling, something I've been feeling for a little while.
Okay.
This Christian nationalism stuff, dude, is out of hand and it's not Christ-like at all.
Correct.
Because even now, the conservatives are turning on Christians. This guy who calls himself a conservative is Christian because he's a conservative. Like these people you're talking about that are walking out of their service.
Yeah, that's of the devil. That's enemy.
That's putting your politics above your Lord.
Yep, yep.
That's putting your idols. Yeah. I loved Charlie Kirk. I loved him. I knew about him. All these old people are now finding out about him now that he died. I loved Charlie Kirk when he was alive.
Yeah.
But also, like Jesus is still more important than Charlie Kirk. And Charlie Kirk would say the same thing.
And also, I would say that I did not agree with Charlie Kirk on everything, but we agreed on our faith.
Right.
And that should overshadow
everything.
The other things.
Everything.
And that's the same thing about where, and that's why I don't want to bring politics into the pulpit, because I know that I have people in my church. And I mean this with all due respect, and I don't mean this to rile people up. I have people in my church on both sides of the political spectrum.
Right.
But I know that those people love Jesus.
Right.
And I don't want to cause division in my own church by politicizing the pulpit.
Right.
There's way bigger fish to fry.
Right.
Literally at the fish fry.
You semi-quoted him in the sermon too.
I did.
Semi-quoted him.
Well, I quoted him quoting John Mack. MacArthur. Yeah.
Johnny Mack. did you know him personally, bro? Like
actually, fun fact, John MacArthur did see me as a baby when I was breastfeeding. So John MacArthur accidentally saw my mom's boob. Yeah, that's
How?
My mom tells this story all the time. My dad was at a pastor's conference. He may not have even seen it, but my mom was you know nursing me when I was a baby apparently at this pastor's conference, and John MacArthur was like, "Oh, can I see your baby?"
So John MacArthur's like, "Drop that veil, let me see your baby."
so that's. You know, it's not because God called me into the ministry. I'm anointed because John MacArthur touched my head when I was a baby.
Do you know...
That's the kind of idolatry that some people really buy into, though, right?
That you were ordained by John MacArthur?
They'll be like, well, John MacArthur touched his head, so now he's an ordained...
That's apostolic succession, dude.
That's wild, dude.
My friend David Bain got to see John MacArthur dude out in California while he's on hospice, dude.
That's awesome.
He was in California, right?
Yeah, he was in California.
Yeah. His church has like a coffee shop and library. Apparently, it's huge, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he didn't preach like a megachurch.
He didn't seem like that. No.
I don't remember one
time. Talking about his wife's sex schedule.
I was going to say, I don't remember one time that John MacArthur talked about his intimacy schedule with his wife.
We gotta see context on this, bro. We can't keep talking out of context on this.
We just heard about a pastor that mentioned that in his sermon,
which is pretty fun. I mean, that's funny.
I don't know.
I mean, it's not funny if you're in his congregation, but it's funny from the outside.
I would never talk about my intimacy with my wife on from the pulpit, and the only person in my church that knows what my intimacy is like with my wife would be you. Because you live below our bedroom.
Yo, we've already seen too much intimacy in your church the last week with the 84-year-old and 60-some-year-old that you married, dude.
Yeah, congratulations to them. It was a really cool wedding. Actually, I was like,
See the kiss?
This is a fun wedding.
Did you watch?
I mean, I was up there. Oh, yeah. I was bad. Front and center, baby. Yeah.
I closed my eyes and hid under the pew while they
and
were
And you
kissing.
probably crossed yourself.
I crossed myself more than once
and drank holy water or something.
Yeah, no, definitely. I really needed like real champagne after what I went.
Well, we don't do that at my church.
Yeah,
so.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, that's not allowed.
That's not biblical, dude. Jesus turned water into wine.
Anyway. Dude, we really went off the rails with this one, and we're only not even 30 minutes in. So, if you've been listening and you've stuck around so long, sorry.
Sorry, LOL.
We're but you're here for the real talk. This is fun.
We'll get into the serious stuff. So, what is your wife's, what is you and your wife's intimacy schedule like?
You're ridiculous. Like, anyway, you wanted to talk about promises, right? Is that what you?
Yeah, I want to talk about God's promise. I kind of had this revelation today that I think the way I grew up, it was my dad always like seemed like super loving or super like giving, but it was always because he wanted something back. So he'd always do this thing where he'd be like, yeah, Zach, can I borrow $20 and I'll pay you back double on the first? Can I borrow $60? I'll pay you back double on the first. He wouldn't pay me back any of it at all. So I always had this like weird feeling of like, I didn't want people to give things to me because I didn't want them to feel like I was taking advantage of them.
Oh, okay, cool.
So it spiraled into this whole thing. I remember I was dating this girl. I told you about this girl. She was like 27 or something like that with two kids, and I was 18 dating her. And my car was like broke down or something like that. And she would always try to give me rides, and I would always tell her, like, no, it's okay, I don't need a ride. I'm still guilty of that, like blocking blessings. And I think I've been doing that with God. I think I've been blocking God blessing me because I have like this martyrdom idolization a little bit.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Man, we could go off on that one. That's a real thing.
I literally, no joke, dream about dying as a martyr. Like that is my ideal.
That's
life.
That's a lot of people, man.
I want to die. I don't want to be living this life anymore, and I want to die serving the Lord.
Yeah.
But that might be a cop out.
I don't know. That's interesting.
But that's besides
the point. Because I don't want to be like filleted, like, you know, which one? Bartholomew, yeah.
I'm trying to be like that saint from last night in The Nun 2, where I'm like burned alive from the bottom down, bottom up. Yeah. By the way, that was totally a ripoff of the disciple John, or the apostle John, being boiled and not dying.
Oh, you're right.
They attribute that to a saint. That was crazy. But anyways, I realize it's not about the martyrdom thing. It's like I've been not allowing myself to feel blessed by God, right? Like the crowns. It talks about the crowns and all this and that.
Yeah.
And surely you will be blessed and all these things. And it's kind of coming out even in our conversations lately about like wealth as Christians.
Yeah.
Where I feel like, I'm just going to say it the dumbest way possible. To be a Christian, I need to have less.
Sure. I mean, that's because sometimes having more can make us too comfortable, and that becomes a problem for a lot of reasons, but it can make us really distracted by, you know, our kids or all kinds of things. And it can make it difficult for us to focus on Christ and what he's done for us and on what we need to do for the kingdom.
Yeah, but I think it's more than what he's done for us. And I think where I struggle is what he's doing for us.
Yeah, yeah.
What he's doing for me.
Sanctification, right.
Well, it's not even just like that with the theological.
It's keep going, man. We're going to ignore her. We're going to completely ignore her, yeah.
It's not just like the theological terms. It's like...
Hey, Iris. We love you. We don't care. We're on the podcast right now and we're doing this. You okay. All right. I'll be right up there. But if you open the door again, I won't. So see you later. I'll be there in just a second.
20 minutes.
You should definitely shut the door. Thanks. So what was that we were saying about promises?
I promise to put a lock on that door. Next time I get a chance. She's up there giggling, dude.
I know. She knows what's up.
She's just like playing little demon tactic games on us. But like seriously, like allowing myself to have things. I feel like in my last job, a big reason why I left, and this might be a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know. I'm kind of just bouncing this off you. I felt like I had too much. I had way too much money than I knew what to do with. But now that I don't have it, I feel like I'm less useful. I feel like I can't give. But the reason I left was because I felt like I had too much.
Yeah.
Do you think that's me like stumbling? Like
what do I mean? Did you limiting yourself? Myself? Yeah. I think that's possible. I think we can do that where we almost feel like we suffer just for suffering's sake. It's like that victim thing. Like if I were to make, oh man, everyone was bullying me on the internet and I'm suffering for the Lord. That would like, that's not. And then if I were to then post bait for people to bully me on the internet so that I can be like, see, I'm suffering for the Lord. You know what I mean?
So it's not as much that for me, but it's like I don't feel like I'm living. I don't feel like I'm living for Christ if I'm not suffering.
Hmm.
I don't feel like I'm a Christian if I'm not suffering.
I don't know that that's 100% biblical. He said, I think he lets us know. It's kind of like in Acts when the disciples are like, don't go to Jerusalem because the Holy Spirit says it's going to be dangerous.
Yeah.
And then Paul's like, no, I think the Holy Spirit's just saying it's going to be dangerous so that I know that it's going to be dangerous. I think that's why Jesus says you will suffer for my sake is like not to say you can't, don't be happy. Or don't enjoy the things that I give you. But he's just saying, you will suffer for my sake. So that when the suffering happens, we're not blindsided like, how could this possibly be?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So I don't think that means that we should intentionally put ourselves into positions where we are suffering unduly. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I mean, my kind of my workaround for this, and I feel like this is totally justified, is like, if I have more, I need less.
Yeah.
And if, and like, the whole thing that pulled me to the Lord at first was that I needed something deeper than material. And then I started getting these material things.
Yeah.
And I kind of like, God had to wreck my world again, dude. Get evicted, quit my job. It's just like I could not stay at that job anymore. Like it was like a calling for me to leave. And now like I'm like low key suffering, but I feel like that's where I'm supposed to be. You know what I mean? But I feel like my whole life as a Christian has been that.
Yeah.
And I don't see that in everybody else.
No, I think, yeah, I don't know. But then
hit me hard, bro.
There's so many times in the Bible that they talk about rejoicing in our suffering.
I know.
Charles Spurgeon, who was like chronically depressed, one of like the like strongest Baptist preachers in his time. So much so that we like 6,000 commentaries he wrote. And like we still to this day in the Baptist tradition, he's a huge influence on the way that we look at scriptures. In fact, not even just the Baptist tradition, but specifically, yes. But Charles Spurgeon is just a person that would be considered a hero of the faith to, I believe, most Christians. And he was horribly depressed and talks almost continuously about rejoicing in suffering.
Yeah.
And so I don't know that suffering in suffering is the right response. Does that make sense? So, yeah, like,
that's honestly how I feel about it, though. Like, earlier you said, like, Christ isn't calling us to not be happy and stuff like that. The thing is, like, when I'm suffering, I don't know a better way to put it, but when I'm struggling or when everything isn't what I would have it to be, I feel more right with God, which produces joy, which produces,
yes,
quote unquote, happiness.
Well, when we recognize that we have to rely on him,
I can only
yes
rely on him. Like, nothing else makes me happy.
But the reality is, it's even simpler than that. It's not just our material needs. Like, if you strip it down to, we can only rely on him for our righteousness and salvation, then that should be enough that no matter what we have or don't have, we should constantly be thinking about that. Right. I think the problem is when we do have a lot of material things, or we do have like stable finances, then we tend to rely on those things rather than spiritual things that are still a need. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because like,
because we always have a spiritual need.
Yeah. I was finding myself, like, it was easier to give money than it was to give my time. It was easier to like, pay for services for people rather than, like, having to really figure it out and do it myself. And, like, I lost the heart of true ministry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Linda talked about it at the recovery group. Like, we were talking about Dave Ramsey and how he talks about, I'm gonna terribly misquote this, and correct me if I'm wrong, but essentially, like, you save money so you can get to a point where you can give.
Essentially, yes.
And Linda was talking about how, like, they had nothing. They were embarrassed of their home and this and that. And they still sheltered people. They still brought people in. And that's kind of that's the way I need to look at it. Like, whether I have money or whether I don't, I could still serve people and still serve God.
Yeah.
But I feel like I can't do that as efficiently, at least where I am in my life, if I have
interesting
everything. And I think it is a little bit of a, I don't know, man. I just honestly am not convinced that it's bad or sin. But after having this conversation with this guy, I don't even think I talked about it on the podcast yet, but talking about how he was talking about how we're supposed to be blessed and how we're supposed to accept the blessings of God. And he's talking about money and all this and how he's anointed us to be the rulers over this world and all this and that. And that's honestly, that's like a closed-handed thing for me, because that like totally wrecks my idea of the faith. Okay. Like, my idea of the faith is not to be prosperous here on earth. It's to, like, be the low man on earth and find those other low people, or even preach to the high people. But yeah. I feel like I can only do that from a low point.
Hmm. Yeah, I think you're on something there.
So, I don't know. I've just been thinking about it. Like, have I been blocking God's blessings in my life? But honestly, I don't think true blessings are material things.
Well, I don't know that I would say that. I think God can bless us in a material way, because he does that throughout Scripture. We see that in the Old Testament too.
Like Job.
Yeah, where he blesses people with material things. And I don't want to get into like a prosperity gospel, but I think there is some level of God blessing people with material, because he blesses them with when they're leaving Egypt, he blesses them by through the Egyptian people giving them things. Does that make sense?
To sustain them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But not more than what they needed, which was a huge point in Exodus.
True.
Yeah. So I love that you brought that up. So this guy told me, this is how he put it. He said, if I know I need to make $100,000 to live a year, and I only ask God for $100,000, I'm being selfish. And I don't know how you derive that. He was like, I should be asking God for more than what I need.
I would argue that he doesn't need $100,000 a year to live.
Yeah.
But that would be, okay. So I see what he's saying. So what he's saying is, like, if I only ask God to provide for my needs, then that's selfish because I should be asking God to give me enough to provide for others' needs.
Right. But
which I think is a, it's coming from a good spot.
Ish.
But I would argue that his math's bad because
if you have $100,000 a year, you have enough to give.
I would think so, yes. But again, I don't know. Not everyone lives that way, so I don't know.
Bro
but,
drives a BMW.
Okay, well, you know, that's fine. You did too for a while.
Yeah, but I bought that in sin.
That's
no, but seriously, the way I look at it is like all I ask God for is like daily bread, like
right
to sustain me. Yeah. I don't need more than what would sustain me. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I think we can do that with. Also not our just our physical needs, because we talked about this a little bit tonight too, but how our understanding sometimes we want to like understand scriptures so much more and have it all figured out.
Yeah.
But I think we can do the same thing with God's word where we say, God, give me the understanding I need for today.
Right.
And that's why, you know, we talked about this in the recovery group. Like, that's why sometimes you can read something in the scripture and totally pass by it. And then you're at a different point in your life and you read it and you're like, wow, that really resonates with me.
Yeah, because it wasn't needed.
Because the truth was always there.
What do they say about God's truth?
we're not there yet. But the truth was always there. It just wasn't what you... And it might have been something you needed, but not at that point in your life.
Yeah.
For that day, the daily bread.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know that. I feel like I don't want to ask too much of God. And I know there's no such thing as.
But then he also says, ask and you shall receive. And he says like things like, he encourages us to ask him, to come to him for our needs. But with seeking first the kingdom so that our heart is in the right place so that we're asking for the right things. But when we get to that point where we're asking for the right things, he wants us to ask him. He wants us. God desires us to rely on him and be dependent on him and want to come to him for things because he rejoices. He himself, what is the word I'm looking for here? He delights in providing for his children.
Yeah.
Like, and this is a bad example because right now I'm too busy podcasting to get Iris a drink, but I delight in getting my kids the things that they need.
The things that they need.
Yes.
But also you don't give them too much so that you don't
also sometimes,
or whatever they want.
But also not whatever they want, but sometimes I do delight in giving them the things that they want.
Sure. But you wouldn't give them candy at 11 o'clock at night if they need to be up tomorrow for school.
Not unless we were trying to podcast and I needed to distract them. But that's sinful earthly.
I love
parenting.
That you put that part in there of seeking the discipline or seeking the kingdom first. Because
yeah.
If I'm seeking the kingdom first, why am I asking for $100,000?
Yeah.
To further the kingdom or to further my kingdom?
Sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's where I kind of struggle. I feel like I don't know. I don't feel like if I had $100,000 a year, I would be like establishing my own kingdom here on earth. But also, I don't know. It's just, I think what it boils down to is like, I need a reliance on God. I know I have to rely on him for salvation. But I also know that I need to rely on him for life here.
Yeah, sure.
And I feel like I can't forsake that.
I'm probably the wrong guy to ask about this stuff, dude, because I'm the kind of pastor that, like, refuses to ask for a raise. So I may be the wrong guy to ask about, like, financial needs or wants or whatever, because I'm just – that's not the way I think. I don't – and it's interesting. Exactly. And it's interesting because I'm not really good with my money. I'm not great with my money. And the problem in that is – Tiffany and I were talking about this today. She's like, we're talking about different struggles people have. And when you are a pastor and a pastor's wife, you know probably more about people's struggles than you maybe want to sometimes.
Sure.
And she was like, aren't you glad that our main struggle sometimes is our finances? And then she like stopped herself. She's like, actually, I wish that we didn't struggle so much with our finances. But then I was like, well, hang on. I am actually glad about that. I'm glad that our struggles are not, at least for the for now, and
definitely not your sex life. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy.
I was gonna say, hopefully not. Like, right now, our struggles are not our kids are like
sick,
or that they're living in sin and like unrepentant or anything like that. Like, there are so many more serious things that I know people are going through, or like. We joke about the intimacy thing, but there are people where that's like a legitimate problem for them, where they're like their marriages, there's no intimacy. And I'm like, I'm glad those aren't the struggles we have, or even worse, the same area, but even like even farther that way, that there's not infidelity in our marriage that we have to wrestle. Like there are way worse things we could be struggling with, but finances are a struggle. And that's honestly, that's the thing we fight about the most, even though we're both just bad with money. So it's like not it's like we're just like it's more we're not fighting each other, but we're just like befuddled about where did the money go. but I think that the point that you are getting at is that, and I think I'm trying to bring this all around. Everyone has struggles. And I think you're saying that you would rather your struggle be financial
than spiritual.
Than spiritual. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't feel like I can live.
But don't get me wrong, I'd love to not have financial struggles. I'd love it if I could just be like I have a friend who I was going to say tithe, who tips 100% when he goes out to eat.
Yeah.
I would love to be able to do that.
Yeah.
That is such an awesome blessing. And he uses that as a way to share Jesus with people.
Yeah.
Because he starts by sharing Jesus with them in the conversation when they're like serving him or waiting on his table or whatever. And then unprompted, he leaves 100% tip.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I wish I could do that.
Yeah.
Can't do that in my financial situation. But then maybe I shouldn't be going out to eat so much.
Right.
So it's like there's a lot of things to think about, you know? Like, man, there's so often that people, I go out to lunch with people, one person in particular, who even when it's my turn to pay, he almost always pays.
Yeah.
And I wish I could do that.
Yeah.
But that's not how...
You pay for my stuff all the time, bro.
That's out of convenience because I don't want to do two orders in the drive-thru, dog. No, but do you remember what happened the last time we did that? We got it all messed up. It was a disaster.
Not really.
I had to go back in for the Happy Meal because they forgot it. And
that low-key would have happened if we didn't have two orders.
Iris was so sad. Yeah.
She's sad about everything.
She is sad right now.
She's a sad girl.
Anyway. I think you hit the nail on the head, though, that... Money can be a hindrance, but I think money can be a hindrance either way is I think the point that I'm trying to make.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd rather have, I don't know. We talked about it.
Yeah. So there you go. There's some truth for you.
Yeah.
And yeah. God's truth won't back down.
Neither should you.
And neither should you. Stay focused. Blessed. Stay aggressive. Gay. And Methodist. Stay relentless. Why'd you have to ruin this whole episode? Now I got to delete it.
Run it back one more time.
Stay focused. Stay aggressive. And stay relentless for God's glory.
Amen. Amen. Getting married to a man.
You're a dork. Whenever we have our live podcast, you're going to have to be careful because I can't edit.